This is a Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to a Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And today I have a continuation of the three-part series that I did about Mary Trujillo, the elder woman who was essentially kidnapped from the camp on December 17th and taken into the custody of Melanie Stoneman. She is the new guardian. As you've discovered in my past interviews, Melanie's history and background have been questionable, false. She purported herself to be a medic, and it turns out she wasn't a medic. By her own words in her interview, she said she was not a medic. And yet we showed you a video where she actually called herself a medic. So there's a lot of that, interestingly. I also shared with you the interview of Bill Running Fisher, who was the man that was listed in the Bismarck Tribune article by Carolyn Gruskin that stated that he found Mary Trujillo tied in zip ties, sitting in her own excrement and feces. So we've been down this rabbit hole. You guys have been there with us, and we've been uncovering many, many layers of stories and intrigue and lies. Lots and lots of lies. So today I have a very interesting interview with L'Oreal Blackshaw. I suggest you get some coffee, maybe some snacks. I've got my snacks over here. You're going to need them because it's going to be a long one.
That's right.
But it's a very important piece of this puzzle because it's got a lot of information.
And that's right. And there's a lot of material before this. So if you're just joining and you're wondering what's going on, you'll have to go back to our website at kpppfm.com. Click on the updates on Standing Rock. And at the top of the page was the last time we broadcasted a three series of all the information that we're talking about tonight. And the last one we published was in the 6th of December and January, 6th of January, 2007. And, you know, we did cover this interview with Billy Running Fisher, and he had mentioned L'Oreal Blackshaw in his interview. So tonight's interview is with L'Oreal Blackshaw that was made January 7th. And it has conflicting information. And it's very important for this case because there's a woman sitting in jail, falsely accused of elder abuse, while her mother has been kidnapped and is sitting in a hospital room without family. And the whole reason we're doing this is to get to the bottom of this and free Kathy Bennett and get her mother back to her,
mm-hmm.
back to her family.
That's right. And I do want to share with other news about what's been happening more recently with you, but this is a long interview and it's important for you to hear this information now. So let's get right to this interview. I'm going to be sharing some audio visuals with you during the show. So sit back and prepare yourself for the interview of L'Oreal Blackshaw. If you just joined us, you're listening to 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. You can contact us and leave us a message at 701-566-0917. You can follow us on Twitter at @media_PPP. You can email me, Cindy, at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com. All right. You ready to go?
Ready.
Roll it.
Hello?
Hey, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with KPPP LP Radio. Is this L'Oreal?
It is.
Hey, L'Oreal, thank you for getting a hold of me. I had been looking for your phone number or contact for a while.
Really? Because you could have asked Billy. Billy definitely had my number.
I did ask him, and in my interview with him, he said he did not have your number. In fact...
Really? No, because I had two numbers. I have, like, this number, which is my home number from New Mexico, and... it's a Verizon, so it didn't work very well at the camp, and I found out that Straight Talk works really well there, so I got a burner phone, and that's what I've been using, too. But he had both numbers. He just texted me the other day.
Well, he didn't have your number, and he said, and I asked him, where can I find her? Does somebody else have her number? Because he gave me Melanie Stoneman's number. He gave me Christine, what's her last name?
I don't even know her last name either.
He did. Heflinburg. He gave me her numbers. She had two phone numbers. And he said he didn't even act like he knew you. Which is why it was so strange to see his company listed on the invoices that were sent to me via message after I did my show. Because I was like, why didn't he mention that he knew her and that he had a company that his company was actually invoicing the veterans for Standing Rock? Okay, we got to pause it right there for a second. So you can see right now, I am showing you, for those of you who are just listening, I'm showing my audience on Facebook, Bill Running Fisher's consulting company called Eagle Child Consulting Enforcement Services, P.O. Box 33, Dodson, Montana, it says here, and it gives some numbers, dated December 17, 2016. It's got an invoice number, and then it says bill to L'Oreal Blackshaw, Veterans for Standing Rock. And then it says ship to security. And if you go further down on this invoice, you will see a number of items listed. 60, looks like level 3A body armor, $1,000 each. Total amount, $60,000. With knife inserts, 60 M 1A flight jackets, and then I don't know what that says. It looks like an A and a K. I'm not sure. 170 each, 10,200 for that. 60 security caps, black, 15 each, $900. 10 tactical uniforms, black, 140 each, $1,400. 2 Night Stalker video, looks like 4,025. There's two of them for $8,050. And then it also says surveillance systems with audio pickups, Wi-Fi for repeaters. Total $80,550. Signed by L'Oreal Black Shawl. And you can see it says Veterans Stand for Standing Rock, where there is the initials VSF. SR. Here's another one. Same invoice. And you see again, bill to L'Oreal Blackshaw, Vets for Standing Rock. Again, notice the date, December 17th, 2016. That's the exact same date that Bill Running Fisher made his first report of elder abuse to the Morton County Sheriff's Department.
That's right.
According to his interview. He discovered the elder abuse, he claims, on December 6th, 11 days earlier, but did not report it to the police until 11 days later.
Yes.
That in and of itself to me sounds like a crime, because if you find somebody in that kind of condition and you don't report it, I mean, he can claim that she got lost and whatever, but You saw this thing happen and you didn't report it to anyone. And it constitutes a crime, according to you, that is very, very serious. So how do you not report that for 11 days? That's just really fishy.
Yes.
And here on this invoice, it says 3 military MAST mast shelters. Rate, $1,500. 3 is the quantity, total amount, $4,500. Again, at the bottom, the $45,000 is signed by, the invoice is signed by L'Oreal Black Shawl. Again, VSFSR. And it says check and or bank transfer. Interesting. Yeah. And then here's the last one. Eagle Child Consulting Enforcement Services. Bill Running Fisher. This one is dated the day after, 12-18-16, December 18th, and it's billed to Veterans Stand standingrock.org, Standing Rock, Lakota. Ship to, for equipment received by L'Oreal Blackshaw. And underneath, it's got 5 level 3A body armor, $1,000 each, $5,000. 5 MIA flight jackets, $170 for a total of $850. 5 BDU sets, $65 each, $325. And 1 Prairie Nights hotel stay. And it says, 3 nights for $262. So, again, the total here, $6,437.08. And this is signed by somebody else. That does not look like L'Oreal Blackshaw's signature to me.
Nope, it's a different signature, but all the handwriting is the same on the invoices.
Yeah, and that's another interesting piece. Like what Duke just said, if you look at the handwriting, that doesn't look anything like L'Oreal Blackshaw's signature. It doesn't look like... Look at the letters that she wrote over here. She doesn't write her letters in the same way, as you can see, as Bill Running Fisher.
And what this shows is that these two actually had a connection, a business connection with each other in the middle of all this. And if you listen to the Bill Running Fisher interview from... on our website and from the day before this interview with L'Oreal Blackshaw, he'll act like he's very unfamiliar with this person and he named her like he didn't know who she was. And then she just opened up her interview talking how she just talked to him the other day, you know, that she actually knows this person. But in his interview, he acted like this person wasn't someone he was familiar with. And yet these invoices show quite a bit of money being run through L'Oreal Blackshaw and Bill Running Fisher.
Yeah, that was very strange to me also, because how is it that you're invoicing a company, is invoicing the Veterans for Standing Rock, who L'Oreal Blackshaw is the person that is, according to her, and you can listen for yourself in the interview, according to her, she was left behind to do cleanup and also to do security.
Yes.
And so she then at some point became the head of security. And she's the head of security. She is receiving invoices for equipment from Bill Running Fisher, and Bill Running Fisher acts like he doesn't know her.
Yeah.
In his interview, he's like, I told her she was my commander sort of person, but, and she was responsible, but he acted like she was someone appointed by Chase Iron Eyes, the new leadership out there, and that she was just, you know, kind of incompetent and dropped the ball.
Yeah.
That's what he basically tried to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go back to the interview and let's hear what more she has to say about this.
All right, here we go.
I don't know. Because, I mean, the Billy that I know, like I thought he was trustworthy until I heard that. I didn't know any of this going on.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know any of this until I'm traveling. I'm helping a friend move out of state. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting these messages. And then it was a couple of concerned friends were like, hey, you need to look at these videos and whatever. You've been mentioned quite a lot. And I was like, oh, really? So I said, okay, well, whenever I get time. So I flew to the hotel late. And that's why you couldn't get a hold of me earlier, because I had fallen asleep and my phone died.
Wow, it makes me think that maybe he didn't really want me to talk to you.
Maybe, and I don't understand if it's because he lied about me writing something in a notebook, or if he's trying to protect me or himself. I have no idea.
Well, let me tell
you. Pretty shady to me.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what he told me, and then you can set the record straight right now. Because he said that on December 6th, when he claims to have found this elder woman in a olive green army tent.
Pause it right
there. She was actually staying in a white tarpy.
So let me show you guys, for those of you who haven't seen this before, this is actually where Kathleen was staying. And you can see it's a tarpy and it's round and it's white. And
it's not a green, olive green army tent in any way, shape, or form. There it is again. Very round, very white. If you heard the other interviews that I had with Josh Long and Jesse Sankey and Russell, you know that this family was kind enough to let people stay with them in this very warm and very comfortable tarpy. They had a wood-burning stove in there, and it was quite warm, according to their testimony. And Bill Runningfisher, let's see, he had sent messages stating that there was no firewood inside of this tarpy when he found her. He said it was cold inside. Do you remember what he said, Robert?
I'd have to listen to the tape again, but I remember him saying that she was alone, and she was, when he first found her, she was in a puddle of urine with no pants on and just a blanket over her and syringes on the floor and the place.
That's what I was talking about. Yes. Right there.
Yeah.
That he said that there were basically, it was, it smelled like marijuana and alcohol. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there were syringes on the floor, and there was no wood inside. Josh had testified that they had left wood there that morning. Before they left the camp, they left all their wood. And he sent me a message. He said her tent on the 6th was unheated around camp. Several, okay, that's not about that, but he was talking about IEDs. So I asked, so inadequate heating for human survival and not even any wood? And he says, yes, that's correct. No interior heat source. It had a wood stove, but no wood. And the stove was cold when we went in on the 6th. That is what he said right there. And then he also said that animals would have been hard pressed to survive those conditions. I think that's all of the things that he said.
Yeah, and then, the reason L'Oreal is talking the way she is, she said at the very beginning she's heard about these videos, and she's talking about the live feed of the show where we went through piece by piece Billy Runningfisher's interview, and then did comparisons to what was in the newspaper. And then his story doesn't match, but he mentioned L'Oreal Blackshaw so much, mm-hmm, in his story that this call is about calling her and asking her what happened. From her? Well, you know, what's her story with involvement with all this?
Yeah. So I want you to see that he told me that it was a Army GP medium tent right there. And he also said it smelled like alcohol and marijuana, and there were numerous syringes on the floor. Again, here he describes the color of it, olive drab green. The Google pic is exactly the tent and exactly the color. So he had no idea what this woman's quarters actually looked like. It's incredible to me that nobody checked for any of these details when taking the police report.
Yeah.
And taking this woman away from her family. Okay, let's roll tape. But he claims to have found her inside of an olive green army tent. It had a wood-burning stove inside, which was cold without any wood in sight, littered with needles on the floor, syringes, excuse me, and smelling of marijuana and alcohol, and that it had, like, it was just a mess, because this woman, her body was completely caked, her hands and fingers, her, you know, lower body.
Billy said that there was needles and all of that stuff on the floor?
Syringes.
That's a fact.
That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. He had no...
Oh, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
He could not produce any evidence of it, because he said all of this information was given to you. That you were the person he reported it to, and he also told Mulaney Stoneman. And Mulaney said it's true that she was told and that you were told that you guys were all part of the meeting.
I just want to say something right there.
Yeah.
So the woman that was given guardianship of this elder woman, according to Bill Running Fisher, was informed about this horrific elder abuse on the 6th. On the 6th. And she admitted in her interview that she was informed. She did not do anything to report it, look for the woman, or do anything to care for her. And yet, she, who said she was a medic, if it were true, she would be legally liable for not, as a first responder, for not having reported that.
Yeah.
But how on earth do you give someone guardianship that is capable of doing such a thing and lying about it?
Yeah. And we don't know that part of the story. We're finding that the actual witnesses that are named in the newspaper report, their stories don't match each other. None of the people match what the other people are saying. And yet, someone has been able to give guardianship to Mulaney. And she, you know, her story doesn't match any of this either.
Nope. All right, let's go back.
Yeah, I was never in a meeting about this. The only thing Billy ever approached me on was, the date, hold on one second. The date does sound familiar. I mean, the date would probably be correct, the 5th and 6th. Those first couple days during the Veterans Day for Shamrock was very blurry for me, because I was constantly busy and people were walking up to me. I do remember Billy and Christine, I can't stand that woman, that girl, anyway, they walked up to me, and I remember Billy asked,
I don't know if you caught that, but she said, Christine, and then under her breath, she said, I can't stand that woman. And that's going to be important later when we find out who Christine is. So put a pin in that one right there and hold on to it, because we're going to come back to it later in the interview, because she's going to talk more about Christine. And then we're going to find out who Christine is. If you recall, Russell said that when he was at the hospital, some woman came who was called Claire.
Yeah.
Or Christine. Claire or Christine. Turns out this is the same person. Okay? Okay, go ahead and roll it.
Asking me, here's the situation. We found this elderly. She was abused. Can you get her a room? And I said, I will try. I said, but I just asked at the desk, and they said they had no rooms available. I said, as a matter of fact, I just got the last room. I said, I put some elders in there. And I said, let me ask again. So I asked the front desk, and they're like, no, sorry, we gave you the last room, blah, blah, blah. There's no cancellations or anything like that. I was like, oh, my God, okay. So I started, but I was like, they don't have any rooms. I was like, can you put her in with the other elderly in that room? And then Christina left, and I came back. And then she was like, that's okay. I got her room. It's taken care of. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. You know, and that was it. That was the last.
Okay. Okay. Let's just walk through that real quick, because there's a lot more of this. I can't say that word on the radio. There's a lot more of this testimony coming that we need to listen to very carefully. But I will just say this. She says that they told her that an elder woman was abused. It wasn't Mulaney Stoneman and Bill Running Fisher, like Bill Running Fisher said, like Mulaney Stoneman said.
Mm-hmm.
It was Christine. Christine, where did she come from? All of a sudden, she's appearing in the story again. She was very briefly heard of, and we thought her name was Claire. But now, Christine, who L'Oreal Blackshaw doesn't really like, she hates that woman, is appearing in the story again, and she shows up and says, oh my God, there's this elder woman who was abused, and we need to get a hotel room for her. Notice, none of these people say, oh my God, there's an elder woman that was abused, and she is
been found in such horrific and unhealthy conditions that she needs to be transported immediately to a hospital. And we need to call the police because a crime has been committed. She says, L'Oreal Blackshaw says, neither of these two people mentioned that to her. They didn't tell her there was some horrific condition. They didn't ask to take her to the emergency room. And L'Oreal didn't ask either. And isn't that odd?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Someone comes to you and says, an elder person has been abused. And all you can think to ask is, hold on, let me see if you can put her in the hotel with these other people.
Yeah, natural response would be, what happened to her? What condition is she in? What sort of abuse? You would ask some questions.
She asked a couple of questions. She asked if she could get another hotel room from the hotel. She asked if they could shove her in the same room with some other elder people. And I think she asked, I don't know. I think that's the only things that she cared to ask about. But you don't say, oh my God, where did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her? Is she okay? Does she need a medic? You're head of security? And you don't ask about the safety of an elder that is being reported to you? That's really, really strange. And even more strange when you find out who this Christine is. Okay? Let's keep rolling.
I never heard of that. And then the next time, and I had to connect the dots this morning after watching the video on your phone, your radio show, was I didn't know Melaine was the guardian of this elderly lady. I know I went to a community meeting before Christmas. Yeah, before Christmas. In which she said something in that regards, oh, there was an elderly abused, and I have guardianship of her. So I didn't know that was...
So, she remembers that right before Christmas, and if you can remember, we heard Russell say that on December 23rd, that's when he was told and his mother was told they couldn't be at the hospital and they couldn't see their grandmother. And they weren't shown any papers. We showed you the video where he asked if he could see the legal guardianship that they were being barred from the hospital because of. And they didn't show him any papers. They showed him the door. The cops told him to leave, or the security there told him to leave, which he did very graciously. It was not confrontational in any way. He was just trying to get some form of answer, some kind of documentation. In fact, when he went into the hospital, he said he wanted to talk to the hospital's, you know, patient relations group, you know, their PR people, as they call them, so that if you have a complaint about how you're treated, whether you're a family member or a guest, you can report that to the hospital. They refuse to tell him that. That's public information. He asked for to be able to talk to who the head of this, you know, the floor or the head nurse or the person that you report a complaint to also denied that information. They said, we don't even have to talk to you. Basically, they told them they don't have to say anything. And they just kicked him out. So L'Oreal remembers right before Christmas, that's when Melanie Stoneman stood up in a meeting and said, yeah, there was a case of elder abuse, and I'm now the guardian of this elder. And she didn't know that that had anything to do with the elder abuse that was reported to her way back on December 6th. She had no idea. All right, keep rolling.
The same lady.
Yep. Yep.
So, and Melanie, that woman, she's a trick. She's very egotistical, and she's been messaging me, and she's like, apparently Billy says you dropped the ball, and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, what the heck? This was, in the last couple of days, she started emailing me, everyone started contacting me about this, but I didn't know, like, I was in a police report or anything like that until I thought this elderly person was home with her family already. I was not...
Okay, I just don't want us to miss anything important. So I have to mention that she said, without being prompted, that she didn't know that she was in a police report.
Right.
And I don't know. I haven't seen what the original police report on this case looks like.
We never said she was in a police report. She was only mentioned by Billy Running Fisher and Mulaney. Yeah,
that's all I told her.
That's where her name came up. It wasn't in the Bismarck Tribune article or anything.
No.
And we do not have a copy of the police report.
No.
So we can't confirm that, but she mentions it.
Yep, she says that this is not, you know, she had no idea of this. And this is basically when she started figuring it out. And then she also says something else very interesting about Melanie Stoneman. She says that Melanie started texting her or messaging her or calling her, communicating with her, and saying to her, guess what? You're the one that dropped the ball. Bill Running Fisher says that you're the one who dropped the ball. So Melanie apparently called her and put her on alert that Bill Running Fisher pointed at her. But Melanie didn't apparently tell her. I did too. I told her that I reported this to you and that it was your fault that it didn't get reported to the authorities. Because if you heard Melanie Stoneman's interview, that's exactly what she told me. She laid the blame squarely at the feet of L'Oreal Blackshaw also.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she didn't tell her when she called her, hey, I think you dropped the ball too. This is your fault also. So that was very interesting because her response to that was not to say, why would Bill Running Fisher say that when I didn't know anything about this? Why would either of you have even mentioned me? You never talked to me, Melanie. You never told me anything. Why are you calling me now, Melanie? You know, she didn't say that to her. She's like, what the heck? What kind of a weird response is that? I don't understand that response. All right, but anyway. Continue, eh?
I'm not aware, like, all of this is going on.
Oh, no. Her daughter has been accused of whatever Billy said, and without any evidence, and she's in jail. She's been sitting in a jail. On Christmas Day, it was Mary Trujillo's birthday, and she was alone because they were not allowed to even call her or talk to her. They weren't allowed to see her after the 23rd of December. And so her family is terrified for her well-being. And I thought it was, you know, she shares a history with the Wounded Knee Massacre, because she was one of the people that is a descendant of one of the survivors of the original Wounded Knee Massacre. Mary is.
Mary Trujillo?
Mary Trujillo is, yes.
Oh, I'm gonna ask my mom because
Okay. I need to tell you that this is a person that has direct descendancy. Kathleen, Russell Vasquez, her grandson, they are descendants of one of the last survivors of the original Wounded Knee Massacre.
Yeah.
And that's also what Melanie claims her background is. Go ahead and listen.
You're talking L'Oreal.
L'Oreal, excuse me. Yes.
Right.
Descended as well.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, so she's a...
I actually grew up in Wounded Knee on the massacre site.
Wow. See, this is... So you can understand why this was very important for her family to be there at Standing Rock.
Oh, yeah, on the 29th? Yeah.
It was very important for her family to be there at Standing Rock for this fight, for this land, for everything. And so this family was, you know, really distraught. And they've been torn apart, and they've been trying to figure out why this has happened to them. So... What I wanted to ask you is how, because this is the part I don't understand, how is it that you were put into that position of working with the security team?
Well, I came in with the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock as a sergeant major. because we were bringing in a battalion-sized element, and in a battalion-sized element, you need the hierarchy mm-hmm. that someone can, that military can relate to and know who to take orders from, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Michael Woods Jr. and Wesley Clark Jr., they both contacted me when in the whole initial process of the rostering and getting the movement going, and asked if I could be a part of it. And I said, yes, I'd love to, you know. And so they had made me the sergeant major because at that point we had over 2,000 registered vets coming in. Mm. So, and also the fact that I'm Dakota. I'm a female vet, the Matriarchal Society. So that's how I came in to Standing Rock. That's my third time to Standing Rock. And
when did you first go to Standing Rock?
I was in Standing Rock the last week of August. I took my kids, and oh my God, it was such an amazing experience. Mm. Just the unity, and it was 98% Native at the time. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience. I took my mom and my kids, and we stayed for a week, and then we had to get back because I had classes starting. And then I went again at the beginning of November for 2 or 3 days, and the feeling had changed. So I went home, and I was, like, really just, I didn't feel good about it. Like, I needed to do more. You know what I mean? So that's when I came across the invite for Veterans Stand for Standing Rock.
Cool. Okay, so when you went in as the security person...
Oh, okay, I'm getting to that. So, Veterans Stand for Standing Rock, Blizzard came in, guys got stuck at the casino, we had... please keep in mind that we had over 2,100 registered vets on our roster that we knew were coming in. But in addition to that, there was an additional 2,000 vets that rolled in on their own. Oh. On their own. And those are the ones that nearly got stuck at camp with no shelter and all that because we weren't expecting them. We knew that there was more of an interest, but we also told them, hang on, listen, we're going to have another mission. Please wait for that one. But they didn't. They rolled in on their own anyway. So the blizzard happened. Everyone was, our buses full of people were stuck at the casino. We had to fill the pavilion. People slept on the floor. I slept on the floor because my guys were sleeping on the floor. I slept on the floor with them. And then the next day, I made the call to call it mission complete. A lot of the people didn't even get to make it to camp, but I got up and I said, listen, we got to get these people out of here. Got to get them going. Mission complete. And that was the same day that they were doing evac. Michael Woods was in charge of the evac. Him and a couple of his guys, they were running back and forth from the camp to the casino, evacing people from the camp to back to the casino. And Billy at the time, there was an incident like a few days before that where he kind of self-appointed himself my medical...
Okay, that was a lot of stuff to run through.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention a couple of things about that. Because she was consistent in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
She did talk about this on a video that she had on her own Facebook page, which I listened to very carefully. I tried to transcribe the whole thing. And she talked about when there's all of these veterans that came in, that they were only supposed to be accepting 2,100 veterans. That was a cutoff. But that 2,100 more came, and they were not prepared for that. And so, really, as the veterans were coming in, the veterans were told to leave, basically.
Yeah.
Mission complete.
And also, you know, the stuff she's saying was, you know, publicly available with the operations order that they were only taking a certain amount of vets, and anyone over that would not be on this, and they encouraged people to get on a waiting list. And I think what's established in... The interview, what she's said so far, is she established herself as a leader in a veteran stand for Standing Rock as a sergeant major, whatever she said it was, and she mm-hmm. was contacted by two leaders of that to be in charge of something. That's what her answer to Cindy was, how did you become head of security? Mm-hmm. So she's explaining that she was in on, you know, the high level coordination of all this and was playing a key leadership role.
Right. She's explaining exactly how she became a key part of the leadership there, which she doesn't deny. It's not like she's like, nope, I didn't have anything to do with it. She was explaining to me how she mm-hmm. got there
yep.
and who she was coordinating with. All right, roll it.
I don't know, team leader, I guess, because there was a situation that had come up, and I had to get a team together fairly quickly, and he was able to.
So she's talking about Bill running Fisher, just so that you know what she's talking about here. She said, so there came a, can you rewind it a little tiny bit? Or is it, no, is it too much? Okay, don't do it then. She says that Bill Running Fisher self-appointed himself, that's what she said, he self-appointed himself as my medic team leader because there was something that I had to do. All right, go ahead.
Do that for me, and I was impressed. So he, you know, I was impressed with that. So I was like, okay, well, you know, you roll with this physical thing if that's what you want, because I didn't really think we would need one.
Who was on that team? Because he basically told me. Okay, so she said that she needed to get a team together quickly for something that they needed her to do at camp, and he did it, and she was impressed. This is very important. She didn't say, he self-appointed himself my medic team leader. I don't recall Bill Running Fisher ever having anything on his business information or his background information in articles or LinkedIn or anything that said he was a medic mm-hmm. or that he had medical training. So I find that interesting that he self-appointed himself the medic team leader, and far from being upset that he did this without her approval, she, who was the head of security, she was impressed. So mm-hmm. she let him roll with it.
Yeah.
Seems a little irresponsible, but what could go wrong? Okay. That there was about 6 people on the team, and you had all of their names along with the report that he made to you in your notebook.
Yeah, I didn't really know it was on his team. He never sent me names. I didn't mention them, but
can you repeat that? Because you're breaking up. It's really weird.
Okay. I was walking around in my room, so I'll stand right here.
That's okay. Can you repeat that? So, go back to when you said that. Go back to the part where he's talking about Billy in writing in your notebook, because I didn't hear any of it.
Well, when I was listening to your video, he said something like, he's like, yeah, I talked to L'Oreal Blackshaw, and I remember her writing in a notebook. And I was like, a notebook? I didn't care about a notebook. You know, I didn't really write anything down other than people who I was paying money out to travel to get back home, so that way I could keep track of how much money we were given out. But I even lost that. It was just an index card.
So let me ask you really quick. Yeah. On the day that he came up to you and said, on December 6th, when he came up to you and said, hey, there's an elder that's been abused. Can you get them a room at the casino? Who was with him? Was it just him that reported that to you, or was Mulaney there as well?
No. It was him and Christine. It was late in the evening.
In the evening? Like around what time?
Oh, my gosh. It had to have been like around midnight, 1 o'clock, I would say, because the...
Did you catch that? Because Russell's grandmother was evacuated in the afternoon.
Yeah.
On December 6th, not in an ambulance, not with a 911 call like Bill Running Fisher claims, because the Bismarck Tribune says that Bill Running Fisher called the Morton County Sheriff's Department on December 6th and that there was an ambulance that was sent there and that he talked to a captain. It sounded like he spelled out Preble. I don't know if that's the correct spelling or the correct pronunciation of the name of the captain he claims to have spoken to, but that's what he said in his interview. And he said he didn't know the name, the spelling of the name either, but he said the guy was great in helping to save this woman's life. That's a pretty elaborate story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a very elaborate story.
Yep.
And he said that this woman was taken in an ambulance and that they didn't take her to the hospital. Rather, they took her to the casino and then she got lost.
Yeah.
He said she got lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
What shuffle? I mean, I know it's a casino, but we're not talking about the game, are we?
No.
It's
probably referring to a lot of people being there.
Yeah, I agree with that. But this is a woman that has dementia and isn't really mobile physically. So yeah. She would have had to have had someone with her at all times in the casino when she was there. And I doubt that any ambulance service would simply show up at a casino after seeing and hearing of a crime of elder abuse of this magnitude with a woman naked, covered in feces, mm-hmm. and then just take her in an ambulance and go dump her off at the casino naked. I mean, that's it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Did they have an extra pair of clothes that happened to fit her in their car,
mm-hmm.
in their ambulance? And then did they shower her in the ambulance, clean off all of the feces and mm-hmm. everything, stabilize her medically, not take her to the hospital, not create a report of any kind, and just drop her off?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to anything. It doesn't make sense at all. Okay, keep going. On December 7th or December 6th still? Are you thinking December
5th? Oh, those days, like I said, are a blur. They just blend together because I hardly got any sleep. I was just constantly all over the place because I was trying to help take care of all of our vets.
Yeah, you're all over the place right now, too. How do you not know? We started this interview out. I repeatedly stated the date of this alleged elder abuse, December 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
December 6th. Mulaney said this. Bill Fisher said that. And yet, she doesn't know what day they told her this. They were evacuating people from the camp. And Christine ran up to her and said, there's been an elder that's been abused. We need a hotel room. Can you get her one? And she tried to get her one. And she couldn't get her one. And she said, hey, I got a room for these other elders. Can you put her in that room? And Christine said, don't worry about it. I got a room. By the way, Kathleen, who went in the truck, in the vehicle, personal vehicle of one of the people on the security team, with her mother to the casino during this evacuation, was with her mother the entire time, including at the casino. And I will show you a video of her at the casino. Kathleen.
Hmm.
On December 6th, the day that they were evacuated, long before midnight.
Yeah.
So I don't know how she could have messed that up so poorly because by saying it was after midnight, it would have had to have been in the eve of December 6th. Like, mm-hmm. right after midnight of December 5th, practically, you know, the night, very late night of December 5th into December 6th.
Yeah, or late.
Or December 6th.
Or December 7th.
Or December 7th.
Yeah.
So her story doesn't make sense. All right, go on.
Getting them food, getting them, keeping them kind of entertained, keeping them from getting drunk so they didn't, you know, we have a lot of vets with PTSD, just drunk and angry and upset and, you know, picking fights, I guess. So it had to have been late at night because I remember just, I'd just gotten the last room. There was a suite, and I put some elderlies that were laying in the floor.
Okay. So she says, now she's talking about the veterans. She jumps from telling me, what time was it? It was a simple question. And I feel like we've gone on an odyssey. What time did they tell you about the elder abuse and ask you for a ride and a hotel room? Or a hotel room at the casino? What time did that happen? And she responds, I can't remember. It was after midnight of the 5th or the 6th. I don't know. Everything was a blur. But you know what? It had to be on the day, it had to be late at night because I was with the veterans, and you know what? I had to watch those veterans. I had to make sure they didn't get drunk. The way she said it was like, I don't know. It sounded very like a stigma that she was putting on them. And then she said, I also had to make sure they didn't pick fights. So she almost, I don't know, it seems like kind of an odd way to talk about a veterans that stayed at the pavilion when I heard no reports of anything like that. Did you hear reports of a bunch of drunk people fighting at the pavilion?
No, no, no.
When the veterans came?
No, I heard nothing about that.
Did you guys hear anything like that? Because I don't remember that. I mean, there was a lot of people there with cameras. There was a lot of people at the pavilion over the blizzard, you know, cleanup, I guess, or evacuation, which did not go easily because there was a lot of snow. So even though the veterans for Standing Rock that came there knew that they were overwhelming the community because they didn't have a place to stay, because they didn't have adequate housing already provided for them, and because they were all huddled into the pavilion of the casino and couldn't be evacuated. There was too much snow. Buses were getting stuck. They couldn't get out. So, let's hear what else she has to say.
On the pavilion, you know, I was like, hey, I have a room if you want to come up and sleep. And I got like four or five elderly people up into the suite. And that's when they approached me, and they didn't have any more rooms because it was late at night. And everyone was asking for rooms at that point. But the casino was like, no, we don't have any rooms. You know, and we just gave you our last one.
And what did they say that the abuse consisted of?
That's all they said. They just said she was abused.
So did you ask them, or did you say at some point, like, okay, we need to report this to the authorities?
That wasn't my call.
Okay, so...
None of that was my call. I was, at that point, I was just the Sergeant Major of the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock. And in the military hierarchy, we shouldn't even have had, like, any other teams like that. But it was confusing. That's all he said.
That is very confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Did you understand what she was saying to me? Because, okay... Let me remind you of my question. This was my question. My question was, so at any point, did you feel the need, did you or anyone else feel the need to report this elder abuse to the authorities? Did you think, oh my God, I am in a position of authority and I am the head of security right now, and these people just reported a crime to me. Am I responsible to do anything about it? Did anyone think about that? And her response again was like all over the place.
Yep, and it's not my call. It wasn't my call.
Right? Did you see my long pause after that? Mm-hmm. I just sat there and looked at the thing. What do you mean? What do you mean it's not your call? Whose call is it to report a crime? If you see something that is criminal, and especially if you see someone being raped, abused, if you see someone being robbed, or you see someone being hurt, physically hurt, how can you say, hey, it's not my call?
Yeah.
You know? Especially when you're the sergeant major of the operations for the Veterans for Standing Rock. How can that be an honorable position to take for someone representing the face of the Veterans for Standing Rock on the ground? Not the indigenous face of the Veterans for Standing Rock on the ground, nonetheless. I don't understand how you can say that. All right.
Back to Christina walked away, and then she came back and said, oh, I got in my room. You see, Christina works where she was. She had introduced herself to me as Phyllis Young's assistant. And so I assume that she went to Phyllis and got a room from Phyllis Young, because Phyllis Young, I'd always see her get into the front desk counter and be like, I need four rooms, or, and then they'd hand her four keys, or she was constantly getting rooms, you know what I mean? So I assumed that she probably had a room on standby or whatever, and so she got her into a room like that.
Pause. Okay, now we know who this Christine, Carol, whoever, Russell says she was visiting at the hospital, and she was with the guy named Grizz. Apparently her name is really Christine. She now turns out to be the one that reported this elder abuse to L'Oreal on December the 6th or the 5th. She doesn't know. Sometime after midnight, maybe. They didn't tell her all the details. They really only told her they needed a hotel for someone that was abused, an elder that was abused. And when she couldn't get a hotel room for her, Christine walked up there, who it turns out is the assistant to Phyllis Young. Phyllis Young. One of the people on the tribal council, right? Phyllis Young? Is that the right Phyllis Young? I believe that is the right Phyllis Young. And she said, you know, Phyllis Young could walk up there and she could just say, hey, I want a hotel room, and they'd give it to her. So Christine went up there, and now we know who this Christine is.
Right.
Okay? Let us continue. Was Phyllis notified of this?
I don't know. I have no idea. You'd have to ask Christine that, because she was her assistant at the time. So I don't want to put words into anyone's mouth or assume anything. So you'd have to ask Christine that.
Okay. So that day, December 6th, Billy Fisher said that he sent her there. Yeah. He actually didn't send her to the casino, and he never asked you for a room. What actually happened, according to him, is that he called the... No, not... He said... Well, the Tribune said that he called the police and reported it to Morton County. And he said in his interview that him and Mulaney and the medics that were there from the security team and the medic team, that Mulaney called 911, and there's a 911 call of the call that they made, and that
Like I said, I don't know any of that. I don't know. I have no comment for any of that, because I didn't know about any of that. Billy never reported anything like that to me. All he said was he wanted a room for an elderly person who was abused. I tried to get a room. I couldn't get a room. And that was it. And then I didn't hear about anything again until I went to a community meeting in which a women's circle, actually, at the community building, which was the Dome. And I believe that was, I want to say, the 22nd, the 23rd of December. And then that's when Mulaney had said, oh, there was an elderly abuse, I have guardianship. And at that point, I didn't put two and two together. I didn't connect any dots. You know what I mean? Until a few days ago when she emailed or messaged me, she's like, Billy said you dropped the ball on this elderly person. I was like, what are you talking about? And so she said something about the Tribune, something about a police report. So then I started texting Billy. I'm like, Billy, what is this about a police report?
So let's listen again. Mulaney told her something about a police report. Mm-hmm. Mulaney told her about the police report. She said earlier that when this Mulaney Stoneman reached out to her, she's like, Billy said you're the one that dropped the ball and you're in the police report. So Mulaney's the one that told her.
Yeah.
That she's in the police report.
Okay, okay. That makes sense now.
Now she caught us up again.
We're going to take a half-hour break from the story, let you listen to some music, and return in 1.5 hour for more of this story.